Let us pray. Lord, indeed, we give you total praise, not partial praise, not some praise or skimpy praise. We give you total praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We magnify you. We praise your holy and righteous name. Let your people look beyond me and see you. Lord, speak to us by your preached word and continue to empower and equip us to give you total praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise is what we can give to God that we can't give to anybody else. It all belongs to God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen. 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 I want you to give our Voices of Faith another hand, and we thank God for them. Hey, if you look up there, you'll see some empty seats. Other than Hayes Jackson, you're welcome to come and help fill these seats. You're welcome to be a part of any of our musical groups, our contemporary band, our chancellor choir, you just name it. In fact, the young man who read the scripture here, he's a trombone player at Flagler High School in the band. Andrew, where's Andrew? Where's Andrew? Right there. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand. When you see Andrew, encourage him to get up here during the contemporary time and play his instrument. Amen? That's the gift that God has given you. He's an outstanding young man. Be aware, though, he is driving now. He's legal. Yeah. All right. Let me call your attention to the scriptorial passage that Andrew read to us. It comes from the fourth division of Psalms. You remember I said the 150 Psalms are in five divisions, actually five books. How about we say it that way? Five books. So this is out of the fourth book of Psalms. It's not chapters, it's numbers. And so Psalm 100 comes to us, and we don't have the name of the author, but if you have a good Bible, and if you're looking at your Bible, the superscript reminds us that that song is a song of thanksgiving. Those of you who have the King James translation, you probably see that at the heading, Song of Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, giving thanks to God. And so I want to share with you, as it relates to the 100th Psalm and the first five verses, as it relates to us coming together in God's house, sharing in fellowship, and the title of my sermon is Entering the Gates of Praise, Entering the Gates of Praise. Let's say the title together, Entering the Gates of Praise, amen. We have come to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen? Tehillim is the Hebrew word for praise. It means giving praises to God. And if you look at the book of Psalms in its entirety, and especially the 100th Psalm, you'll see that they're giving nothing but praises to God. That is what you and I can do that we can't do for anybody else, because God is the source of our strength. He is the source of our life, and we give him total praise. Amen? Amen. And so I want to call your attention to this passage of scripture, but I also want to share in contents, since we're talking from the Psalter, the book of praise. Let me call your attention to the first bullet point question, is this question, and here are the answers as well, because I want you to write them down. It says, who wrote the Psalms? Look to your neighbor and ask that question, who wrote the Psalms? All right. We see that David is responsible for how many? 73. So if you meet someone and they say David is responsible for 150 Psalms, you can tell them no. He's responsible for 73. I learned that in church. Asaph is responsible for 12. Korah comes along and he's responsible for 11. Jeduthun comes along and he's responsible for 3. Solomon, he comes along, he's responsible for how many? 2. And then Moses is responsible for One, we know that because he's responsible for Psalms 90. Ethan is responsible for how many?
One.
He's responsible for Psalms 89. And Heman, one. Psalms 88. So we see here how God used all of these different authors to compose what we have here, not in the way that you and I see if you're looking at your the back of your pews and you see a hymn book, but there was the worship book for the choir doing worship. And they would sing these praises to God. And get this, it was a sense of participating because it was a time of mentorship. Asaph, Korin, Korah, and Jeduthun. They were all under the leadership of David. And they learned how to worship and to praise God. And they learned from their mentor, David. It doesn't mean he was a perfect person, but it does mean that he believed in worship. You look closely at David's life, and he believed in worshiping God from whom all blessings flow. Not just only for him, but also he taught these three how to give praises to God. And ultimately, because he was in David's home, you'll see we have Solomon, his son, who would come along and he too would share praises to God. We ought to mentor and help others along the way. Our Christian faith is not something that we just hold on for ourselves. In fact, if you look at closely at just at the first verse, and I'm going to read it again. Listen to these words. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what?
Singing.
He invites us to come and to sing and to share and to participate. Now, the late Billy Graham had a beautiful quote that I want to share and unpack with you this morning. Let me just share the first line. Billy Graham says that Christianity is not a spectator sport. Look to your other neighbor and say, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Yeah, yeah. Now, you Cleveland Brown fans, I know you feel good, but not too good. Amen. But it reminds us when we bring people into the life and ministry of the church, and as we share today as it relates to our ministry fair, and there's so many different ways that you can express your gifts and your talents and your graciousness to God by sharing with the gift that God has given you. He wants you to stir up the gift that God has given you. That's biblical. And for us to continue to do what God has called us to do. And Christianity is not a spectator sport, just sitting there watching on the bench, but it means to get what? Actively involved in the game. How many of you follow sports, any type of sports? If you don't, we're going to have an anointing service. Okay, we're good. Yeah. If you follow watching the soap operas, yeah, just raise your hand. Come on, we in church. Yeah, yeah. Anything like that that you just enjoy doing, you do what? You put your whole self in it. You participate in it. Sometimes everything going extremely well, and then sometimes not. But because of your faith, because of your commitment, that's your thing. That's your hobby. That's what you like to do and to share. Now, I want to share with you that, indeed, there's a beautiful young lady who's part of our church. But how many of you know that sometimes you can get your feelings hurt? Have you ever had your feelings hurt? Come on now, you're in church, God looking. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to rain on your parade, but hang in there. God always has a silver line. you know her well. In fact, let me do it this way. She normally sits right here. And she has three ladies that sings with her and sometimes her son-in-law. I was minding my own business. Look to your neighbor and say he was minding his own business. How many of you know Miss Blanche London? Yeah, we know her. All right, pray for her, pray for her, pray for her. You're going to really pray for her when I tell you what she did to me. Minding my own business. And lo and behold, on a Monday, Reverend Teresa Waters coming in all smiling, feeling good. My Miami Dolphins had just lost to the Dallas Cowboys. I still believe they cheated. And Miss Blanche London told Reverend Waters, tell the pastor to quit talking about the Miami Dolphins. They're not going to win anything. And you can imagine me going home just crying and Linda, boo, talking about my Dolphins. But guess what? I'm still a Dolphin fan. I'm not in it just because we're losing and it looks bad and looks like we're going to have years of losing. But that's my team. I came up with a concept that will help me with my team, and many of you try this when it comes to the Lord's church. I came up with this concept, and I want you to see it, and I'm going to read it for you. Under my new plan, any NFL team with 12 or more wins must give at least one of those wins to the Miami Dolphins. Nobody needs that many wins. That's it. That's it. That's it. I still believe in my team. Still believe in it. I'll go down with them. Ride or die, that's my team. In fact, we have a grandfather who's here, and his son works for the Miami Dolphins. I've been invited to go see the Miami Dolphins play, but I'll wait a couple of years until they really start playing. Yeah. But that's just like it is with church. We want to fit things according to our way. But if you look here, it's not our way. It's God's way. It should be God's way. This is God's church. The church is not built upon the preacher. The church is not built upon the choir, not built upon those in the pews. The church is built on the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we should give him total praise. Look closely at your Bibles, and you'll see right here as I share these words. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Not unto me, not unto you, not because of your buddy or who's singing, but it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This is not a Burger King religion. This is God's thing. There's a poem I want to read to you and share with you, and perhaps you've read it during the Friday Word, and it goes like this as it relates to Jonah. Here it is. I'm Jonah. I want to serve God as long as it is convenient. I desire to do his will until it's a tad uncomfortable. I want to hear his word as long as his message isn't one that I'm supposed to pass on to someone else. I don't want to have my plans interrupted. Oh, yes, I'm Jonah, and I suspect that in one way or another, you're Jonah too. Boy, that's good. Billy Graham said it this way. Here's the whole complete quote. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's something in which we become what? Totally involved in. Totally involved in. Totally involved in. If you have your cell phone, you make sure it's fully charged. Fully charged. Totally. Whatever we do, you go to the gas station, if you're running on E, you want to have what? A full tank. That's it with the Holy Spirit. We're to enter God's house, enter the courts of God, the gates of God. Normally, gates are defensive weapons to keep someone on the outside. But God has opened up the doors for us to come and to worship. If you look closely at this song of thanksgiving, it was a song of invitation, inviting the people of God into the presence of God and to worship God. The whole atmosphere was centered around worship, and the worship was directed to God. Perhaps you heard of the country preacher who was preaching one day, and the choir was singing, and immediately afterwards, they had a visitor, not a member of this church, they had a visitor who came and said, Reverend, I didn't like none of the songs they were singing. I didn't even like the sermon. Preacher said, that's fine, brother. I said, what do you mean that's fine? He said, well, it wasn't for you, it's for God. Some of you are going to get that on the way home. Yeah. We're to give him total praise. If you keep looking right here in this passage of scripture, I want to call your attention to something very carefully. The next point is this point, and you're going to have it on the screen. I want you to read this question with me. Do we worship the Lord with gladness, or do we do it out of obligation? Here's a backdrop of Rimfire Elementary School. The principal is right over there. She's taking notes. Oh, boy, she's doing good. And Amber works there as well. This was held, Wednesday, at Rimfire Elementary School, and it was Donuts with Dads. Now, I was invited. I don't have a kid, but boy, you said donuts, I'm there. All right. Yeah. And it was packed. And those dads, they weren't just there because of obligation as a father, but they were there with gladness. They were there having a donut, sharing with their son or their daughter or both. But it was a great time, a great atmosphere, and it was a demonstration of how men should definitely continue to take care of their children, but it was them taking time from their work schedule in order to be present. Not as a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of gladness. If you look closely and you follow the Bible closely and look at the life of David, the reason David could easily praise God because he was taught in his own family how to praise God. How many of you remember the story of Ruth and Naomi? Yeah, Ruth and Naomi. Naomi's sons died, who was married to Ruth. And Naomi told her, "You're a young, beautiful woman. You need to go and then allow another man to come and marry you." But it wasn't out of obligation that Ruth wanted to stay with Naomi. It was out of gladness. How do I know? I want you to write the scripture down. Look at Ruth, the first chapter, and the 16th verse. It says, "But Ruth said, 'Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I'll go. Where you live, I'll live. Your people shall be my people.'" And here's the point. "Your God is my God." Not out of obligation, but out of gladness. She was glad to be in the presence of her mother-in-law. Could have easily left, but she wanted to worship the same God that her mother-in-law worshiped. You look closely in this passage of scripture, and it reminds us of the goodness of God that is soon to come. They were worshiping God. They were praising God. They were giving thanks to God. Now, if you have your Bible, and I'm getting ready to go because time is about up, we have a couple more minutes before 11 o'clock. Look at the 122nd Psalm. The 122nd Psalm. Now, you'll notice something, and it's recorded in our sermon notes at the top, but we should have Psalms 122:1. It tells us this is an ascent of David, reminding us that David is the author and composer of the 122nd Psalm. And David writes this song in the midst of having a broken spirit and a broken heart. How many of you have been there before? You come to church and you have all of this stuff that have been going on through the week. But look what David says. And it's a song. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go where?' Into the house of the Lord." He wasn't upset. He wasn't fussing. He wasn't worried about this person or that person. He was just glad when they said unto him, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Whatever you're going through, there's a song for that. If you're troubled, just continue to read the Psalms. If you're in despair, just read the Psalms. The Psalms reminds us. When you're talking about ordering my steps in God's word, look at Psalms 119. There's a song for that. When you're talking about total praise, look at the Psalms. There's a song for that. When you're going through your situations and you just don't know how to go through, but you know there's a song for that, and you remember Psalms 30 in the 5th verse, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Can I get a witness? There's a song that says, fret not because of evildoers, because they soon will be cut off. But when you can't remember a song, I want you to look closely at this passage of scripture right here, and I'm hasting. The fifth verse of the 100th Psalm. For the Lord is what? Wait a minute, your Bible is different. For the Lord is what? And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures throughout all generations. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Can I get a witness? We can depend upon the goodness of God. Wherever you go, you can rely upon God's goodness. And I hope the Lord bless you real good. 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 In Jesus' name, may God bless you.